But
well, you just posted, as we're speaking here today, you just posted a couple days ago news piece from Germany where politicians were promising a mother's pension, quote unquote, to women of a certain age who had never actually participated in the labor force, the cash money labor force, and whether somebody thinks it's a good idea or a bad idea, it just reflects exactly what you just said, a lack of understanding or a lack of a willingness to confront the mathematical reality of where these countries are.
Yeah, there's absolutely zero. And instead of the 1932 bonus army, I think it's basically going to be pensions coming out and largely Social Security. I mean, my father had like a military pension, you know, and it's, I think, two or three, and then the government basically, you know, clipped my mother and says, oh, that's double dipping, so now you only get one.
Okay.
You know, okay, that's basically fraud. Okay, so they said, oh, you stay in the Army. You know, he was a colonel under Patton. And so, okay, so he stayed to get the pension, and then they take it away from her. I mean, thank God he's not here because he would be, you know, really freaking out. But
well, on the Social Security piece of it, you know, there is a, you know, the Social Security Trust Fund, even though we'd say largely fiction, obviously, but there does, as a legal entity, it does exist, and it's got a file cabinet full of special bonds out in West Virginia, literally out in West Virginia. And so there is at least nominally plenty of assets to continue paying promised Social Security benefits for some period of time, but the problem is that there's no, you know, it's presenting an IOU from one pocket of the government to the empty pocket of the other, empty pocket of the government. And so when people talk about reforming Social Security, what you're really doing is it's really a form of default on bonds. It's just we're going to continue to pay our foreign obligations, but we will essentially default on domestic obligations. So that's very
well, yeah, I mean, as you know, I mean, I tried, you know, I worked on Capitol Hill behind the scenes,
right,
trying to get the Social Security reformed back then, and find they were relying on me because I was not going to be a fund manager, but I was setting it up, okay, fine, this is how we do it, we put it out for bids, and I could never get both sides to agree because it was like, well, when the parties change, then we get to change and we put our people in. So this isn't the way you run a trust fund. You know, it was just, nobody was taking it seriously. I just gave up. I mean, it was pointless.
Well, we're pretty deep into it, and I guess that gets back around to where what you were discussing about, well, what happens when if it just mathematically, I think the Comptroller General of the United States has calculated that the contingent liabilities of the federal government, all the promises that have been made to everybody, everywhere, get honored, they total something in the neighborhood of $200 trillion. And there's less that you could liquidate every, if the government could get its hands on every asset of every type from everybody in the United States, liquidate them and use them to pay government obligations, that still doesn't total $200 trillion.
No, well, this is the problem, but it's also confuses a lot of people because they keep saying, oh, see, it's going to be hyperinflation. No, you know, you're assuming, number one, they're going to honor the debts, which they never historically have ever done. But two, then they discount the entire state side, which is deflation, because they can't print the money to cover it. They just have to default, like the city of Detroit. So you have these two forces that are like on a seesaw, one that naturally goes up because at least the feds can print money. The states can't, and they're even in worse shape. So I think you're going to see not like the bonus. I mean, it's like going to be like the bonus army, except not the military. It's going to be all these pensioned, you know, largely from state and local, and they're just not going to get paid. They can't possibly get paid. And it's total insanity. You take a a small town. They've got 10 policemen and 5 retire. Okay, so now they're paying those people. Now either government shrinks, which they will never do, so now they have to go out and they hire 5 people, so they still have 10 active policemen. And so what's the solution? Oh, we just raise taxes. And they're hitting that resistance area. And that's where this is coming into a crisis. You know, the standard of living has declined dramatically. And, I mean, at least in the 30s, one guy could work and support a family and put, you know, kids into college. That's not possible today.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in the Great Depression, that phenomenon that you just described exactly happened exactly the way you described it, and that a lot of people ended up losing their houses, not because they were underwater on a mortgage, because they didn't have a mortgage, but they just couldn't come up with the cash to pay the increased property tax bills that were out there. So the carrying costs just to keep the house that you allegedly owned away from the government was too much. So you had all sorts of municipalities that went broke. There's no provision in U.S. Bankruptcy law for states to go bankrupt, but there was at least one state in the Great Depression, I think it was Arkansas, that did functionally go bankrupt.
The city of Detroit didn't technically go bankrupt. What they did, they suspended their bond payments in 1934. They resumed 1963. So,
see, all you had to do was wait.
When I'm 90, of course, they waited for, you know, that makes inflation also. So, okay, fine. $10, 1934. Well, see, I'm giving you your $10 back, but it doesn't buy anything close to what it did. I mean, a Cadillac was $600 back then, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is part of the whole problem, and that the structure upon which government is designed is fatally flawed. And this hunt for taxes everywhere, it's very nice. They stand up and like Joe Biden during the presidential elections was saying, oh, the Republicans are for the super rich. Okay, fine. Please define who is the super rich. You know, they now track wires of $3,000. So what is super rich? Anybody that has a job? They throw these terms out. It's very nice. It makes you think it's Warren Buffett, you know, and it's not. It's you. And that's the whole problem. So it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I don't see any possible solution.